Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one makes cunt. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die. Cause God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See the shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes cunt. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. It is the 12th of April, and my crocuses are finally coming up. I think, let me look around here for a second. I don't see any snow anywhere. There might still be some out in the backyard, but no snow. It did snow a little bit yesterday, and we're supposed to get blasted with freezing rain and ice pellets and snow and all the way into near the end of April. And that's global warming. I wish people would write all of their so-called political representatives and just say, like, get your act together, okay? We all know that global warming is a fraud, or anybody that has any sense at all knows it's a complete and total fraud. And so, you know, we have the Ministry of Environment and Climate Change. The whole thing's a fraud, but we have the Minister of Environment. Excuse me, and climate change. Like, it's beyond ridiculous. It's like a bad movie. Anyways, I'm just going to go back to this bus accident out in Saskatchewan that wiped out most of the hockey team. And I see a young lady who was on the bus, who was the athletic therapist, has passed away after the accident as well. She's only 24 years old. And that's really freaking sad. So that's 16 victims of that bus crash, that bus truck crash. And it boggles the mind, you know, like that wasn't I thought at first it was, you know, a tin can school bus or something, but this was a big highway bus, like a Greyhound style bus. And the fact that that many people lost their lives in that accident is wild. It's really unbelievable. On the upside, a lady right after the accident of Sylvia Kellington of Humboldt, Saskatchewan, started a GoFundMe, and it's been running for 5 days now, and they had a goal of $4 million, and they're over $10 million now in 5 days. I checked it this morning before I went to work, and it was like 9,200,000 or something, somewhere in there. So, you know, they brought in close to $1 million today, brought in 800,000 at least, and the day's not over yet. So, you know, a thank you to all those who, well, that's now it's up to 10,103,000. I just reloaded it. So I don't know how high this thing's going to go, but, you know, we've had how many donators? 118,526 people have donated in 5 days, and those 118,526 people have donated $10,103,265. So that's pretty phenomenal. But I think it really got to the heartstrings of people, because these are all very young people, and to lose 16 people out of a small place in Saskatchewan has got to be completely and totally devastating. So the money's not going to replace the kids, but hopefully the money's put to good use, and the families, well, they're going to have a long, hard time getting over this one. But it's nice, you know, because, you know, the people reach in their pocket and they donated, which is a good thing. It's a good cause. But when I look at this, and then I look at the state of our entire nation, you know, this is one incident in a small place in Saskatchewan. And it's got to be absolutely, completely, and totally devastating to the people, the families, relatives, friends of the players. It's just got to be. It's got to be the biggest nightmare. But when you compare that to the devastation that's taking place across this nation, and the fact that people don't want to recognize or accept what's going on in this nation and everywhere in the West, you know, I'm glad the people stepped forward and donated, but I'm still waiting for the people of the nation to step up to the plate and start pushing back what's pushing on us. And if we don't do it soon, we might as well have been on the bus, because your lives are being destroyed. Your family's lives are being destroyed. Your children's lives are being destroyed by outside entities who are so-called politicians can't help push the international agendas down our throats fast enough. Well, that was an accident in Saskatchewan. What's going on in this nation, coast to coast to coast, is no accident. It's a long-term plan to completely destroy the nation and the lives of everyone in it. This is very serious. What is the goal of the United Nations? The end of nation states. Now, all of this international law that has been written over many, many decades. And I don't see how it is that our so-called politicians have the authority to allow us to be ruled by international law. But these are all these agreements they've been signing for many decades with this international conglomerate called the United Nations and all its partners. The smoking bylaws came out of the UN. The vaccine nonsense came out of the UN. Fluoride crap, UN. Banking, UN. Your education that your children are getting, which is no education at all, comes out of the UN. Everything negative going on in our country comes out of the UN or one of its partners or one of the tax-exempt foundations that helped put this thing in place. And your so-called representatives are doing everything in their power, mainly lying to you, in order to implement these agendas, which are specifically designed to destroy your nation. And yet, the majority of the people in this country don't want to see what's right in front of their faces. They don't want to believe that their so-called representatives would do this to them. But then the people have to understand these politicians don't represent you. They don't represent you now, nor have they ever represented you. And they're coming to take down the country. They're coming to remove your rights that you thought you had, you were deceived into believing you have. And all of these things are being dismantled right in front of your face. Your lifestyle in this country is going to go in the toilet. Because remember, Canadians are water hogs and energy hogs and just generally hogs. Apparently, we don't recycle properly. Apparently, we don't do anything properly in this land we call Canada. The only thing we don't do properly from where I'm sitting is we never stand up. We never question. We never push back. And if you don't stand up and you don't push back, well, they're not going to have any trouble getting to their goal line, which is complete and total control of every aspect of your life, complete and total control over all of your resources. That means your water, your energy, where you live, what you live in, the end of personal transport, the end of private property. But nobody seems to want to believe it, even though it's written down. They told you they're going to do this. They told you this decades and decades ago. They told you what they're going to do. But you're too busy going to the movies. You're too busy watching a hockey game. You're too busy to care. Well, you better start caring, and you better start doing it really quick. Because you're not going to have a nation. In fact, as far as the present government is concerned, the nation's gone. And for all intents and purposes, Tinkerbell Trudeau is absolutely correct. We're under international law. They control our oil prices. They control our water prices. They control our energy prices. They control our food prices. They control the education. They control it all. So when Tinkerbell Trudeau said, you know, and that was only six days after he was elected, talking to somebody from Time magazine, pronounced that Canada is the first post-national state. You're not a nation anymore. And yet people don't want to know about it. And it's not just the liberals. Okay, it was Harper, who's a conservative, who said that this is a loss of national sovereignty back in 2010. You know, I mean, we're being taken down. We're being pushed aside in our own nation. We've become the enemy in our own nation. If you speak up and if you speak your mind, you're going to be called, well, every name in the book. But all those that are flooding our borders, you can't say anything about them. You just have to lay down. Why you would lay down, I don't know, but that's what people are doing. So, you know, the nation, for all intents and purposes, is gone. But how do you get it back? Well, it took many, many decades to get us to the point where we have a prime minister saying this is a post-national state, to getting the nation back in real short order, just by the people standing up and saying, no, 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 we're not going to abide by any of these international laws. Nobody told us about these international laws. We're not bound to these international laws because we don't give a damn what these treasonous dogs sign, because only a treasonous dog would sign away your nation. So we're not going there. And we're going to cut all ties with the United Nations and all tax-exempt foundations and all NGOs and anybody that supports this internationalism. And if we would just do that, we would have our nation back in very short order. Our borders would be protected in very short order. But the only people that can do it are the men and women who call this place home. If you refuse to stand up, if you refuse to say what you need to say, then say goodbye to your nation. Say goodbye to the future of your offspring. Say goodbye to the whiteness of this nation. Because the plan is to brown it. And if you are going to allow your heritage and your history to be decimated the way they've planned to decimate it, then you're not a man. A man would stand up and protect his nation. A man would stand up and protect the future of his family. A man would stand up and protect his heritage. But we're not seeing that here. It's really quite depressing. But I do believe we're going to turn it around still. Christopher, my friend, how are you?
Ron, just to touch on talking about standing up and getting this back in order, that you notice they're dealing with this NAFTA talks now, which we've known from square one what that's all about.
Uh-huh.
And maybe this will be a wake-up call for the people of our country, because now that they're being delayed on laying the pipes, they're going to sue us.
right.
for billions of dollars for holding them up. And that's through NAFTA. You know, so now maybe people will understand that. Maybe free trade with the amigos, the Americans in Canada, isn't such a good thing after all.
The only one it's good for are the international, you know, the multinational companies. Right? It's no good for you. And well, the way it's set up is if, I mean, way back when Krejci was, that's a long time ago, when he was the prime minister, we got sued for, what was it, some additive in gasoline or something? Cost us a ton of money. You don't come in here and tell us what we can and can't do. Right? You got no right to come. It's just like I got no right to come to your home where you live and walk into your kitchen and say, hey, Chris, this ain't the way we're going to do it. Okay, this ain't the way you're going to live in your house. Because I have some international lawyers say you're going to have some new rules in your house. Well, you're going to protect your house. What people don't understand is the country is your house. You wouldn't let some freaking foreigner or some negotiator come into your house and tell you that you have to do this or that or we're going to sue you. You kick him in the ass and out the door. Who the hell are you to come in my house and tell me how I'm going to run my house? And that's exactly what NAFTA is. That's exactly what all this internationalism is about. People coming into our house and tell us how we're going to live. You know, here's a middle finger. If that don't work, I'll break your nose. Get out of my house. We got to get back to manufacturing what we require in this country.
Well, I totally agree with that. But like with NAFTA, everybody thinks, oh, well, if we don't negotiate with these countries, you know, like we're going to lose out. Well, how are we doing?
I know.
We got Walmart. You know, we got
we got nothing. We've been gutted.
Yeah.
We've been absolutely gutted. And if you don't do this agreement, then well, you're screwed. No. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to kick the whole damn works out of here, and we're going to fire our factories back up, and we're going to build product that lasts a long time. We're going to build product that doesn't spy on you. Okay. And we're going to take control of our house again. Well, it won't work. They say it's international. Take your international and shove it where the sun don't shine. Okay, this is our nation. This is our home. Don't come in here and tell us what we're going to do. You know, I watched this video last night, Chris. What the hell was his name? Sowell or something? Sowell? Some black guy in the States. And where the hell did I see that? Maybe I can get it back if I back up here. And he was yammering on. This guy gets written 25 books. He's an American. He's black. And if I can find that damn thing, what the hell's his name? I want to look this guy up because anyway, oh, there it is. Did I see that? Anyways, this guy's name, he's old now, but where did he get to? He's been around for an awful long time. And anyways, he was talking and people were saying, oh, how they hang on every word. And he did a short history on the Jews. So I listened to it. And most of it was not right. And, you know, he got on about the Holocaust and all of this kind of stuff. and the 6 million Jews that got killed. And everybody's listening to this guy, and I guess they've been listening to for a long time and reading his books. And it really ticked me off.
Still there, Ron?
Sorry about that, folks. We lost our internet connection. And that's how precarious things are.
Hey, Mr. Stevens.
Hello, how are you, my friend?
I don't know. Did you just do a show, or is this a new one?
Well, it's a continuation of the last one, but I don't know why, but my internet connection just went kapooey for some oddball reason. But we're back. I had to reboot everything, but we're back. That was weird.
Talking about hockey players like Cam Neely or something, and you might stay steady.
I don't know what happened there. That was weird.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm not supposed to say anything about Jews or Hitler or our nation or anything else.
Nope.
I bought a coffee cup, you know, that keeps your coffee hot.
Yeah.
I think we can talk about that. But this is how precarious things are, right? I mean, you know, it's just like when, I forgot his name now. The he died of cancer or whatever. He was, anyways, the guy that got friends with Rockefeller. And they said they just want everybody wired, so if you dissent, they can just shut off your bank accounts, your food account, your hydro account, and shut everything down, right? Boom. And this is how precarious things are getting, right? They're getting us totally wired. And you say something they don't like, push a button, you're out of here. Just that freaking quick. And that's unfortunate. But anyways, when I heard all of the people, I'm going to try and look that guy's name up. I think it's S-O-W-E-L-L, maybe? S-O-W-E-L-L? See if this is the guy. But I have this guy, yeah, this is it, Thomas Sowell. I don't know who he is. And it was an American economist, social theorist, political philosopher, and author. He's currently senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, Stratford University. Was born in North Carolina, but grew up in Harlem, New York. So he's 87 years old now. And, he's talking about all these different things. But when he was talking about what was going on in Germany and that, I thought, what, people listen to this clown? I mean, he's an economist, a social theorist. I don't like the sound of that. A political philosopher. I don't like the sound of that neither. The guy's a player. He's a friggin' mouthpiece for the globalists. And people have been listening and reading this guy's crap for like ever. And now we have this Jordan Peterson guy in Canada who went to Harvard, I think, and McGill. And he's a psychologist, philosopher. And he's all over everywhere. And same crap. And
well,
people
at 87
are
years
just,
old, you think you might come to a point in your life where you decide to stop the lie because you're not going to be around much and repent, maybe? I mean, if I was 87 years old and I already sold my soul to the devil, the Jew. I mean, at 87, I say, okay, guys, I got to tell you something. I'm not going to be around much longer. Let me be honest. it's all a lie. But no, they got to keep going for that other shekel right until the end, eh?
Yeah, I mean it's bloody ridiculous.
Unless they You know, Ron, maybe they do believe what they profess. I mean, like Jordan Peterson's, he's tenured. So I guess that means that he can't get fired. I mean, it'd take an awful lot to get him fired. But he is starting to make money now off of his new rants that he's been going on with.
Well, he's making a fortune, and his bookings. I don't know who's doing the bookings for him, but they're off the charts. But you know, I don't know. I guess people just hear what they want to hear. I guess I don't know. I've never seen anybody talk in circles as much as Peterson does. You know, he just talks in circles. It's kind of like the way UN writes their stuff. You know, like if any of these people, I'm going through this a little bit, but, you know, I don't know that this Thomas Sowell, I don't, I got to look into him, but I don't see where he's saying, you know, get the United Nations out of here. You know, the first thing that has to be done in any nation is for the people to have control of the nation. If the people don't have control of the nation, then you ain't going to have a nation. It's that bloody simple, because somebody else is going to take control of it. If you're not going to protect your nation, then you're not going to have a nation, because somebody's going to come in and pick you off. And that's, you know, we're being mugged. I mean, if you looked at, you know, like when you talk about these NAFTA agreements and that, you know, that's like somebody, an old lady standing on a corner with, you know, some money in her purse without any protection. She's going to get mugged. And that's exactly what they're doing to our nation. They're ripping us blind. And we don't seem to want to say anything about it. We don't seem to want to notice it. It doesn't take a bright man or woman to notice what the hell is going on, but nobody seems to want to notice it. I don't understand. I really don't understand. You know, Peterson, I have a lot of people that I know that they're giddy about Peterson. Well, if you listen to him closely, and you understand what he's saying, most of it, first of all, doesn't matter. And when someone asked him, you know, a direct question, I'm still waiting for someone to ask Peterson, like, is it possible for you to answer a question without running around in a circle? Is that possible? Because he does the same thing. I mean, when I listen to Peterson, and I'm going to check out this Thomas Sowell guy, but when I listen to Peterson, if you've ever read UN documents, their documents continually contradict what they're saying. They'll say this in one paragraph, and a few paragraphs down, or even the next paragraph, they'll say basically the opposite. And then they just keep running around. And people don't like to read UN documents because they're going, this doesn't make any sense. Well, of course, it's not supposed to make any sense. I think they write it that way, so you just say, "I this is bullshit, I can't read this." And it's the same thing what I see with Peterson. You're talking this one second, then you're talking that the next second, which you're talking on the same subject, but you're absolutely contradicting what you just finished saying 5 minutes ago. You know, they set him up, and now he's like a rock star. So people are such followers and so lazy of the mind. Oh, Peterson's really popular. Okay, but who is he? Where'd he come from? Right? Like, what's the program here? I mean, if this guy gives a damn about the country, it's simple. There's only one answer, and that's to cut ties with all the internationalists. We make the rules. We don't negotiate. We make the freaking rules. period. It's our house. We make the rules. And we make the rules to the benefit of our family, which is the nation, which is the men and women. You want to let somebody else make the rules for your house? You don't negotiate the rules of your house. This is our house. This is our rules. If you want to do business with us, fine. But these are our rules. You want to come in here and try and sue us for billions and billions and billions of dollars? Like, hit the road, Jack. Ain't going to happen. Well, yeah, but, you know, according to the international agreements, take your international agreements and shove them where the sun don't shine. Don't bring them here and threaten to sue us. Okay? You know, all this nonsense with these pipelines out west. You got the premier of Alberta saying that they're going to put stop the shipment of BC wines. I mean, this is like a bunch of spoiled brats playing in the sandbox. I mean, where the hell's this oil going anyways? Where's it going? You want to put a pipeline out to the coast of BC? Well, let's see. If you put an oil pipeline out to the coast of BC, I got this funny feeling the oil ain't staying in Canada. So where's the oil going? I mean, if we're energy hogs and we're not supposed to be using fossil fuels, then why are we building a pipeline to the West Coast to put our oil on somebody else's boat? Makes no sense. You know, that's our oil. I mean, these are our resources. This idea that you're paying $1.25, $1.35 for a liter of fuel. I mean, think about that. You know, we're tied internationally with the oil dollar. The price of our oil in this country should not be probably, just doing some rough numbers, should not be more than likely 79 cents a liter. So we're being ripped off. It's our freaking oil. And we're not getting the benefit of our own resources for our own people. Somebody else is getting the benefit of it. And we're paying through the nose to use what's ours. That makes no sense. You know, I mean, like, they're having all kinds of problems out west with grain shipments now. You know, they said in 76, what's not sustainable? Private property, private automobiles, air conditioning, and agriculture. And fossil fuels and all the rest of that nonsense. So who's telling us this? Who's telling us this? It ain't our people telling us this. It's a bunch of crackers from outside of our country who want to take control of all the resources on the planet. But these are our resources. Now, why would we be giving someone else control over our resources? That makes no sense. Makes zero sense. You know, but people wanted, I don't know how they got caught up in this political nonsense that they did. They think that somebody's going to do something right. Well, just look at history. Has anybody done anything right in this country for the benefit of the people? No. I mean, if they were doing something for the benefit of the people and the benefit of the nation, how the hell would you be $1 trillion in the hole? How would that happen if you had responsible government? They're bankrupting you on purpose so they can hand all your resources to those that they've been signing international agreements with for so many years. This stuff is ours. Now, the future is supposed to be ours. Why would we hand our future to people we don't even know? Why would we allow a bunch of two-bit international lawyers to write so-called law, international law, that interferes with our nation without anybody telling us what they're up to. And then they expect us to bow to their international law. And all of the international law is being written specifically to do what? Destroy nation states. It's time to say no. We're not going there. I mean, you live most of your life in Kingston, right, Chris?
Did I lose? Life.
Okay. Now, you've seen Kingston, I could be wrong on this, but I would think it. You've watched Kingston going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, we're pretty sustainable now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you get some more turtle fences up, it would be a good thing.
Well, it's just coming. I sent you that.
I know you did.
You know, Ron, if you don't mind, you're talking about infiltration, and one of the Jews' tactics is to send in third world countries to inhabit our land and bring us down so we can all be socialists. Crap. Okay, I gotta try and hide that.
Is that the Prime Minister on the phone over your place?
I think so. As soon as I said that, the Prime Minister called. But the Humboldt Broncos accident. God damn. I told you before, there were two accidents in Kingston and surrounding area with transports. I got a friend that's been driving transport. He's a professional transport driver, and he sees them every day. And he told me, he said the Punjabis are coming in and they're taking over the transport industry, which is kind of dangerous if you think about it. These guys do not know how to drive. We had one death in Kingston not too long ago, where the Punjabi was followed for 8 kilometers before the accident, and I think he's looking at 14 years now for the act. Or no, he's looking at 4 years for the accident. He ended up, he was going all over the road and cars were pulling off to the side just so they didn't get hit. Oh Jesus, Ron, I gotta get rid of this. He killed a motorcyclist, he ran him, and then he hit a family of three, and they all got injured in the accident. He was a Punjabi. There was one in Brockville where they killed, on the 401, he killed four people because he didn't know how to drive. Now, that brings me to the Humboldt Broncos accident. The company that owned the transport, the owner's name is Padman Singh. They won't give you the name of the transport driver himself.
See, this is what you're doing good. That's good work, because I'm kind of busy renovating the house right now, so I don't have a lot of time to look at it too close. But what I found in the stories to be absolutely amazing is that the driver of the transport truck was not injured. The police, the RCMP, said
the truck isn't even damaged.
They say it could take many months to figure this out. Well, wait a minute. The truck driver isn't injured. Why don't you ask the truck driver what the hell happened? What is this many months? What is this many months nonsense about? How come the truck driver? How come the truck driver hasn't been named? Has he got a East Indian name?
Yes.
Right? Is that why he hasn't been named? Right? You know why? You know, there's an accident. They normally name who was involved in the accident.
Exactly.
They named all the people that were killed in the accident. They named all the people who were injured in the accident, but they haven't named the truck driver. Why is that? Right? I find that very odd. Now, yeah. Now, my nephew runs trucks in north of Edmonton, living in a small, I forget what the name of the town is, but he's running hot water trucks or something for whatever they're doing on the rigs. And, you know, he was telling me that you know, basically the East Indians have completely, for all intents and purposes, taken over the trucking industry in Alberta, right? They basically own it now. How is that? How is that possible?
They're doing it here too.
And, yeah, I know.
And people are starting to die because of it. Now you got to be concerned about these driverless cars, because apparently they can now kill people. But you got these guys driving 18-wheelers on our highways and the side roads, which is where a couple of people died, or one person died right here in Kingston. Him not being able to drive properly and running over a motorcyclist and injuring three other people in the car behind him.
Like if you're now, running...
You know, like... And he got 2 weeks training. This guy that caused a Humboldt Broncos accident, it said right in the CBC that he had 2 weeks of training.
Oh, like, really?
You're talking something massive that could cause many more deaths than, well, I mean, Humboldt Broncos. That was obviously, that was a bad one. But, I mean, the one I'm talking about here and the four in Brockville, I mean, these guys are the ones ripping up and down our highways now, and we're driving our cars beside them. Look for more to come.
Well, I mean, if I'm driving a semi, I'm not too worried about your car, am I?
Well, I don't know.
Like, I can run over your car and not get hurt, right?
Yeah, but I'd be concerned about keeping my own lane. I mean,
well,
the one
know,
guy
but...
said he was doing, there's only two lanes on the highway. They said he was doing three. That was the accident here in Kingston. He said he was on the one lane, went over the other, then onto the shoulder, then back on and over, and then back on the other shoulder for 8 kilometers. And then all of a sudden, bam. I mean, I'm just talking about like what's in the news, but
well, no, you know, when you bring that up, I mean, I find it, I just find it so extraordinarily odd that that this investigation could possibly take months, and the fact that the driver of the truck or the trucking company, you said they've named the trucking company? Was that right? Or was that a different accident?
No, the Humboldt Broncos accident where the 16 died.
Right.
The company is owned by a man whose name is Hadman Singh, S-I-N-G-H. And I don't really think that's a Canadian name.
Not really.
You know, like, based on my heritage.
Well,
not...
if that's the name of the owner of the company, then you can be Well, you could be pretty damn sure it's not a white guy driving a truck. Now, I could be wrong on that, but they kind of hire their own. So, you know, I don't understand it. You know, I'm hoping to hear the name of this guy, and because if he was the one that ran the stop sign and he didn't get hurt, then
why hasn't he been interviewed, and why isn't
right exactly why right exactly
he killed 16 people,
right? So why is he not been named, and why has he not been interviewed, and why are the police saying it's going to take months to figure this out? Well, you got a coroner. And apparently the truck blew the stop sign and hit the bus. So that's not so hard to figure out. You know, I mean, that corner's had bad accidents before, and people have been killed on that corner. And it seems to be the same scenario all the time. So how is it going to take months to figure this out? I just think what they're doing is protecting the driver or the ethnicity of the driver.
Well, it could be racist if you say his name.
That could be. That could be.
If you're European sounding, then you're a racist.
And he could possibly sue us for millions of dollars.
And Trudeau would give it to him.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, how many people are in trouble in this country, and you hand out $10 million checks to these people who are terrorists? Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're just protecting. They don't want, maybe he's a Muslim. Maybe they don't want Islamophobia flying around, right? I don't know. I mean, maybe the guy's white. I really don't know. I have no idea who this guy is, but I find it awfully amazing that he has not been interviewed. And
or his name given.
Or his name given. Yeah, you would think the media would say, okay, these are the people who were killed. This is the guy who's driving the truck. This is the trucking company name, yada, yada, yada. But it's total silence. On a tragedy that big, total silence. And there's something wrong with this, right? You know, I mean, they're really pushing the Muslims in Saskatchewan where the accident happened. I mean, the police put on the meet and greet for the Muslims. So maybe this is... maybe the driver was a Muslim. Who knows? And they don't want any negative.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, they just don't want any negative news about any Muslims.
That's correct. Now, I suspect highly, based on the guy that owns the company, and the 2 weeks training he got to drive a big rig before he got
with
behind the wheel.
With a pup on it.
Yeah.
Right.
They showed a picture of the transport, man. There was no damage to it. It was like a freaking bulldozer going through a Toyota.
Yeah. Well, the bus would be built a hell of a lot less. I mean, the size
of
the
big friggin' rails on the front of the rig.
Well,
it was,
yeah.
A tow rig, I guess, eh?
It was what?
A tow rig, like for towing other transports that are broken down.
Oh, well, it looked like he had a trailer and a pup on it.
Well, it might have been because that's what he was towing.
He was hauling some stuff, right?
Yeah.
But we're almost out of time here. So just a heads up to everybody, if you're in Calgary, I seen an interview there. Some of the people flew out that are going to be speaking out there. I saw a little quick bit on it. And it looks like we're out of time. So thank you, Christopher. I enjoyed that. Take care, everybody. We're back Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. We're out of time. I'm out of here. Have a good night. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back.